Hello, everybody. We are back for a Rising Star, another Rising Star episode. This time, a little bit different. We're going to do this with Mark and Lucia, and we are going to have some fun because this is our first couples Rising Star. I mean, I didn't think we were going to get there, maybe ever, but it would never happen in my family. I'll leave it there. But I'm glad you guys could pull this off. And the fun thing about a couple's Rising Star is that, from what you told me, is that you both trade, but you trade independently.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, do you do the opposite of what she does?
No.
No. Okay. You just do your own thing, and then you tell each other later on what you've done?
Yes.
Pretty much. We're not even in the same building.
You're in the same building?
No, we're not. We have separate. I'm in a separate building.
So that's how you stay married. Got it. All right. Well, this is going to be fun because I like the idea that you've come here together and you kind of have different capital bases, different returns. And what I also like about what you guys have done is that it's a relatively, I mean, most of what you've accomplished in the world of trading has happened, you know, since, let's say, 2019, right?
Yeah.
So it's really like the last 4.5 years.
Yeah.
But you get to a point in your life when you're in the nonprofit business, in running a nonprofit, you're in the automotive manufacturing business, and you get to a point where, like, okay, it's time we kind of figured out this financial stuff because, as you said to me before, it's expensive to use third party.
Yes, very expensive.
Was that the kind of the reason behind it all, the motivation?
Yes, and also for me, it's like, you know, I would be the one more interested in my own money. The third party, they have so many clients that they need to take care of, include themselves.
Sure.
So I don't think they would pay like too much attention to me. And
nobody likes your money better than you do. Okay, we got that. Yeah.
I would be the only one who would be more interested in my own money.
Yeah. So you make that decision, we're going to go this alone. What do you do, Mark?
Well, that was when she kind of tricked me into going to the seminar, and
so you found an investment education kind of resource, and that was your first, like, kind of, you know,
and
your first step.
Light bulb went off in my head. I thought, if this is real, and we can do it, then why not? I mean, that makes more sense than, like she says, waiting for somebody else to take care of our business and we'll take care of our own business.
Sure. Well, I mean, obviously, financial markets are real. Sometimes, you know, sometimes there's people selling stuff that's a little exaggerated or that might be a little more difficult than they make it seem. But the reality of markets are that they're totally real. Yeah.
Yeah, but we did see, you know, I do have some investment through my work.
Sure.
And I see 2008, suddenly my money, even with, you know, I pay a lot of money to those investors and still done a lot.
Yeah, 2008 was a really tough time.
Yeah, it was tough. So I say, okay, so even I think I want to know why, how to manage those kind of situations. That's kind of when kind of got me really interested in to manage my own money.
That's kind of the reason we built Tasty, I mean, to be fair. So you go through this process, you know, investor education, company, whatever, you realize that you can probably, at that point, you can figure it out, you can kind of go it alone, I think, and you decided to kind of break off and start to do your own thing.
Yeah, I was raised in the Midwest, and nobody ever brought up the fact that you can actually take care of your own money. Nobody believed that. The family and the crowd that I hung out with, that was never talked about.
It's a different world. I mean, you know,
I had to be convinced that
you were only a couple hours away from Chicago. You know, you could have come down here and gone to one of the exchanges and saw that, hey, this is, you know, there's life in the big city here.
No, I didn't even know the exchanges existed at that point.
Got it.
That's how little financial education I had.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, so you never really traded.
The stock market was something that was totally out there in space.
Right, so you never really invested in the stock market, options, futures, any of that kind of stuff. Because sometimes people that grew up on a farm, you know, did some futures hedging, maybe a little, you know, against.
Well, that always fascinated me. On the radio all the time, there'd be corn futures and soybean futures. And yeah. I always wondered, what the heck is that about?
Yeah. Yeah, hedging what's in the silo and that kind of stuff. So let's fast forward to like when you guys, you're still in LA and you kind of break off and you start trading, and you start, like, how did the whole thing begin? You started investing in stocks, or what'd you do right away? You know, like, what strategies were you using?
Well, I jumped in options right away and lost money.
You jumped in options. Like, what kind of options?
Credit spreads. And
mostly credit spreads? Yeah. Okay.
One of the things that interested me was a guy that was teaching day trading on the SPX four years ago, when there was Monday, Wednesday, Friday expirations.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and that was selling iron condors at the end of the day. Basically, the last couple of hours, you go out and get 40, 50 cents and hope.
Yeah, no, that's not a tasty approach at all. But I guess you got your feet wet. You learned lost a little money.
Yes, I did.
How much money did you lose?
Worst day I had was a $16,000 loss.
Worst day was $16,000. And that was like in 2019, 2020, 2021?
2020,
somewhere.
Yeah. 2020? Yeah, I remember because I was working in a motorhome and he took out his bicycle and did not come back until 2-3 hours. I said, oh, I don't know if he's still alive. And he came back the next day, he got into trading again.
Okay, that's good. That's a good sign. And then what about you? When did you kind of start, you know, being a little more active?
I think I start with a cash secured put.
Cash secured puts.
Yes.
Yeah.
So kind of I got assigned for a couple of stocks. And so then I learned how to do the cover call.
So you wheeled it, essentially. You sold the put to open.
Yes.
Where you ended up being assigned on the stock and then you sold calls against it.
Yes.
That's a good learning process.
Yes. So I started from there. And then I think in 2022, he kind of introduced me to Tasty, and that's why I say I think I know these people because I saw them on YouTube. So I started learning before I start work, and so kind of I listen to you guys, and I like you always make fun of Tony, and Tony always make fun with you. So I kind of concept, and because at work the same thing, I kind of tease my coworker all the time. And so I like that kind of concept. So I started kind of learning. And I say, well, we spent a lot of money to kind of trying to get education, you know, and nobody ever want to teach you like you guys to get all the knowledge that you don't even charge a dime. And so that's when I kind of start get myself into the more option, like I love iron condor. And when I was talking to my coworker, and they say, and I think that was before Mark started get into iron condor. And I said, oh, just like this, like that. And so yeah, that was a lot of fun. So I think that was when I started in 2023, really get into like more option trading.
So to put a little background out there, because I think people want to know, like, you know, what are we talking about? So you trade a handful of accounts, handful of different accounts with, let's just say, around $500,000. Okay, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And you trade essentially one trading account,
right?
Pretty active trading account with $100,000 plus. Let's just say, okay. And just to give people context, because you know, I like sometimes people come on the show, they're just starting out, they're younger, they have less money or whatever. You guys are trading, you know, real accounts, real money, and you've gone from, you know, in the early days, kind of just trying to figure out, you know, what is this stuff, listed markets, to who are these guys on the internet, to now you're sitting here in our studios in Chicago, and you're like, okay, well, it's all real, and you've also, you know, you told me that you've generated returns, you know, on the active portion, you know, 10% plus, and on a little more of your kind of your holdings and stuff, plus 30%, and you've done in the neighborhood of 15 to 20%, and you guys feel like now you've reached the point where, you know, you kind of own those returns, you own your own decisions, you're done with the $16,000 losing days, and, you know, it's a different world now, right?
Yeah.
What's interesting about that is that you go from a point where, like, I don't know how anybody can make this work, or how, you know, you go from that, all that kind of self-doubt, to being like, when you lose, just mad. You just get mad now, right? That's what I do. I just get
mad.
I'll get
it even one of these days.
Yeah, exactly. Now that you guys have settled into kind of like a really, you know, kind of, in a certain way, for you, it's like a full-time role. You know, it's less for you, but it's still an active, you know, passion, more than a hobby type thing, managing your own money. What would you say, like, strategy-wise, where are you guys at right now? Like, where are you at strategy-wise?
Credit spreads, for the most part. One thing that we both like to do is when a stock is beaten down, a good, solid Amazon or Apple or Adobe or something like that.
Apple's beaten down right now.
Yeah, when it's beaten down, we'd like to do a trade where we buy an at-the-money call, sell a slightly out-of-the-money call 4 or 5 months out.
Okay.
And then sell puts on a monthly basis.
Okay,
against
so you found a little strategy.
Yeah, that seems to work pretty good, but it has to be...
It's like a variation of a jade lizard.
Yeah, it is, and it has to be on a solid company. You can't...
Right.
So that's a go-to besides doing, you know, vertical credit spreads.
But you found different things and different stocks that you actually like and, you know, different approaches.
And she'll sell puts more than I do, but I still sell puts and never again on NVIDIA, by the way.
So you're selling puts as a kind of an opening strategy for yourself?
Actually, right now, I'm doing more like what Mark was saying. For instance, like I just closed a trade for UNH.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was beat down pretty bad.
Yeah, it had a big down opening like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so I bought, I think, 5 months further about at money call and then sell like $20 higher, and then I do a put for the 30 days, and I just close it. I think I just closed it Monday or Tuesday when they jump up like $27 some.
Yeah.
So
nice trade.
Yeah. So I try to find those kind of trade right now.
Yeah.
And I found out that worked pretty well for me.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking for like what you like. I would call that a situation where you find something that where you think there's price extreme on one side, but you're looking for price extreme to the downside where you think it's oversold.
Right. Yeah. Plus, credit spreads, we're not afraid to take 50 cents profit.
No, I understand. Sure.
You know, we're not going to wait for it to do something that it's never going to do. We'll go ahead and take profit.
Yeah. No, managing early and taking profits is a big part of success in the trading business, especially when you get to the point where you guys are now, where you're actively participating every day.
The tasty mechanics have helped a lot in that regard.
The tasty mechanics have honestly helped us a lot too, you know, everybody here, because before we've survived a long time in this business, but I think there was a lot of winging it, you know, a lot of it. And what the tasty mechanics have done is they've given us a, you know, a much better process along the way. And what other than the, have you focused at all on position sizing?
Yeah, we stay very small.
Because one of the things I read about you is that you're trading smaller, but you're trading more often, which is exactly kind of our mantra.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I'm still just doing one contract for the most part. I've gone out and stuck it out there a little bit on SPX trades lately.
Yeah.
Doing the Maria Shoe trade. You know, but I'll do 4 contracts there because I'm only looking for 50-cent move. It happens
That's
a
fine.
Lot. Instead of trying to get $2 or $3, I'll wait for a 50-cent move and close it.
Have you diversified into, like, a larger universe of underlyings?
I've started playing with futures.
Futures options?
Yeah.
Okay, like what?
And futures. I bought bonds.
Okay, good for you.
The last week or so. I've watched them go down and down.
Yeah, they haven't gone anywhere yet.
Yeah, but I am comfortable that they're going to go up and up and up again. So okay. I'm not too worried about it.
I just don't get too big in there.
I just simply bought bonds and did a put spread on the bonds as well.
Okay, that's totally fine. Easy. Same logic.
I did the same thing with corn and soybeans because that's back to the Midwestern thing.
Sure.
But I heard on the radio...
Well, they're both on their butts right now. I mean, they're as low as they've been, so they haven't been any cheaper. So, you know, you're not buying them at the highs. Yeah. Are you trading any commodities yet?
Yeah, I did a couple of the futures.
Okay, what kind of futures?
Oil.
Into an oil.
Okay.
And I tried to get into soybean, but for some reason, did not get filled.
So you're
several
not.
Times.
So you guys have reached the point where you're not. You're not scared of anything anymore. Like you're product agnostic.
Yeah. So long as it's liquid.
Does any part of the business scare you now?
I think for me, it's as long as I manage the risk and I don't get too big. So kind of, Mark is saying that, you know, we stay small. So kind of get my feet wet for different direction. And for me, I'm still working full time. So for me, it's more like, okay, I'm using this time to learn as much as I can. So that's kind of my strategy right there.
So when you go out to dinner, do you talk about trading?
Sometimes.
Oh, I like it.
Every morning, though. I get up before she does, but she wakes up, first thing out of her mouth, how's the market?
You're supposed to say, what are the spoos doing? See, that would never fly in my house, but it flies with you guys. That's a good thing. Is there an area of trading or markets that you are interested in but haven't gone there yet?
Well, we're dipping our toes in the futures pool, you know.
Okay. And I'm impressed that you guys are dipping your toe in there.
Yeah, and that's...
Have you bought any digital assets yet?
No.
I do.
She did.
You do?
Yeah.
What have you done? Like some Bitcoin?
Yes, just Bitcoin only. And Ethereum, I did, but I sold it when, again, like I think 1.5 times, so... I said, okay.
There's nothing wrong with taking profits.
So I took the profit.
And you're obviously all managing stuff early as possible. You know, I can tell that already.
And I think the tasty trade, I think kind of earlier mentioned, you know, like manage earlier and take the profit earlier. And before, when I do the cash secure put, I always wait until expire.
No.
But I think, you know, that was kind of a totally different concept for me. It's like, okay, if you get 50%, you run. And then you find another... opportunity to get in.
Yeah.
So that was never the concept that I got from different, like other places that teach me, say, hey, you know, manage your like a profit early and look for another opportunity.
Close and redeploy.
That's right. Close and redeploy. Close and redeploy. Have you been sticking to the high IVR?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the advice for other couples? I mean, you're happy, right?
What? So far, I guess.
So far, yes. So what is the advice for other, you know, couples that, because we don't get a lot of couples that talk about they're both trading on, you know, in different accounts on, you know, on in different rooms. Let's put it that way.
I think for the couple, I would recommend is, for me, it's more like education. Learn as much as you can. And I think that's always my concept that even at the job, I'm always, even my last day at the job, I will be the last person to leave. I want to make sure I leave everything in order and the next person coming in can, you know, easy for them to navigate my work. And when you're at the job, don't be afraid that you have to work 10 hours or 12 hours a day. Use the chance to learn. That's a chance that you can learn from other people. Take the chance. And so for me, it's like this is just another skill for you. And I think this is a really good skill for everybody to have.
Couldn't agree with you more. Said perfectly.
And she doesn't give me a hard time when... We don't give each other a hard time if we have a stinker trade.
It happens.
So
yeah, it happens.
How did it happen? Why did it happen? We'll analyze it.
Yeah.
And try not to let it happen again. But so we don't get in each other's grill, as they say, about that sort of thing.
Well, that's cool. Listen, this is a very different Rising Star episode than we've done before. So I thank both of you guys for flying up from Knoxville, Tennessee. And it's been great having you here in the studios. I hope you enjoy your trip to this amazing city and your stay here at Tasty. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I think I would really want to thank you guys for, you know, give us all the knowledge that we need.
It's awesome.
Yeah, the Goodwill model is fantastic, and yeah. And you must have had to buck a lot of negativity in order to pull it off.
Oh, they thought I was crazy. It's okay. You get a lot of you're crazy. You get through it. But thanks so much. Thank you.
You can.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.